Please turn in your Bibles to our text this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we'll read verses 1 through 19. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk water for 3 days and three nights. Then David said to him, to whom do you belong, and where are you from? And he said, I'm a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind, because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Cherethites, in the territory which belongs to Judah, and the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? So he said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. And when he had brought them down, there they were, spread out over all the land, eating, drinking, dancing, because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except for 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which had been taken from them. David recovered all. Let's pray. Blessed cross of Jesus, I thy power would prove. Neath thy shadow living, not this soul shall move. Sanctify me wholly. Purge from every stain and all that makes for bondage. Let it now be slain. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the privilege that we have to preach it. May it come, Lord, with life-changing force and might this morning to all of our hearts for His glory, His honor, and His praise. Amen. Many years ago, I was on a business trip to Denmark, and Beth and I stopped at an island called Fyn. And the principal city of Fyn is called Odense. And Odense is famous for this reason. It is the home, or was the home, of Hans Christian Andersen, the great writer of children's stories, including The Ugly Duckling. We love ugly duckling stories. We love stories of those who were hopeless, being brought out of those dark places and being made new. This is a great story of recovery, isn't it? A great story of rescue. And it's a simple story. We're going to go through it very simply this morning. In the reading of the passage, again, as we go through it, there'll be this particular story of David. But as we discuss it, you'll have in mind your particular story. But of course, we cannot help but look at the greater story, his story, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, David's greater son, who came to recover all. And if you wanted a title for this message, I suppose it would be the last three words of the passage that we read, David recovered all. In verse 1, the first three words, now it happened. Now it happened. David and his troops arrived back to Ziklag, and there it was. Catastrophe had hit. It was in ruins. It had been burned. All their loved ones, everything that was most precious to David, was lost. It was gone. And he and those with him were devastated. This had to be the worst day of David's life. Have you ever had such a day? As you sit there this morning, what is your it? It happened. Now it happened. The crisis, the catastrophe. For David, no doubt, he was beating himself up saying, why did I do it? Why was I so careless to leave the city, the community, my family, my friends, helpless and defenseless? Why did I move so presumptuously? This is all my fault. This is all my doing. And look what has happened. And he and those with him were torn up because of that. We've all got our its. Now it happened. Great crises in our lives. Great catastrophes, personal tragedies or catastrophes, whether it be of our own making or doing or otherwise. Exactly 40 years ago, almost to the day, I got the dreaded call. My father on the phone telling me that my brother-in-law had been killed in a car accident. The dreaded call. My Ziklag, my it happened. The dreaded word, cancer. First of all, a call from my daughter, August 31st, 2004. Dad, I've been diagnosed with cancer. 3 years ago in July, my wife got the same diagnosis, cancer. 8 months later, my other daughter got the diagnosis, cancer. And I thought, I'm running out of daughters. A friend, one of my best friends, diagnosed with stomach cancer. It happened. Our mistakes, our failures. For me, I think of financial investments that I made, poor financial investments that I made, that to this day we're paying for. Because of myself being so impetuous and greedy, believing a false promise and it didn't come through. David and those with him, they wept. We've all got a Ziklag. Ziklag is a community southwest of Jerusalem, about 50 miles. But let me say this to you. Ziklag was an in-between place for David. Between Bethlehem, his place of beginnings, and between Jerusalem, his place of destiny. Ziklag is an in-between place. It's an interim place. It's a temporary place. It's a very hard place, but it is an interim place. You and I, we will have our Ziklags. And what we want to learn from this passage of Scripture, how do we get through these kinds of times? Ziklag is not where you've come from, and it is not where you are going to. But Ziklag cannot be avoided. You're going to have a Ziklag, and many of them in your life. Just this past week, I read this tweet where the author said, I have never met a strong person with an easy past. That's true, isn't it? I've never met a strong person who's had an easy past. So let's follow through, quite simply, this morning, some of the verbs. Let's turn to verse 4 of chapter 30. And I just want to lift out some of these verbs. David wept. David wept, it said, along with those with him. They wept, they cried so much until they had no more power to weep. You've been there, haven't you? Whether it be your own life, your own personal tragedy, your own personal crises over a loved one, something has happened to you, something has happened to them, and you have wept and wept and wept and wept and wept until you had no longer any power to cry anymore. Such was the devastation of that crisis. Once again, whether it was your own fault, your own failure, your own undoing or not, it doesn't matter. Or whether it was something that you didn't ask for. You didn't want this, but it came upon you and it shattered you. This was David's dark night of the soul, if you like, and we have them as well. Both the Bible and life are real. It's not like a Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale in this sense that, you know, we're going to live happily ever after. Once upon a time, and we all lived happily ever after. That's not real life, is it? Calamities do hit. This is why I'm so thankful for the Scriptures. They are real. We read, for instance, in Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. Pretty graphic words. Calamities. These calamities have passed by. Disasters. The message says, until this hurricane blows over. until the danger is no more. The mischief that's come upon me that has its source in the wicked one who's a liar, who's a thief, who's a murderer, who's come to kill and to destroy. But the psalmist says, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to hope in God. I'm going to believe God to get me through this. Until, I like that word until, don't you? Until these calamities have passed by. Darkness, disappointment, and discouragement are not the believer's end. You are not to live there. You are not going to live there. Psalm 30, verse 5. We read, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Verse 11. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. And this is the message of the Lord today, especially to those of you who are living in that dark place, that deep, dark night of the soul, that brokenness as a result of your own failures and foul-ups. There is hope for you. There's a word from God for you today that God is going to bring you out of that. In Christ Jesus, there is restoration. In Christ Jesus, there is recovery for each and every one of us, no matter what we've done, no matter how big and how bad the foul-up. There's a new beginning for us in Christ. There's renewal in Christ. There's restoration in Christ. This is the gospel. To all of us, we need to hear this message because we've all fallen. And the Lord helps us. He gives us hope, doesn't He? We move along in our passage to verse 6. And of course, they had to have somebody to blame. And so there was talk of stoning David. So what did he do? It says in verse 6, because everyone was grieved, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The first phrase says David was greatly distressed, but he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. How did he do that? What do you do when you're in distress? What do you do in a situation like that? What did David do? In Psalm 34, verse 1, He gives us some hints, some pointers, some helps for all of us. I will bless the Lord at all times. Not most of the times, not in good times only. I will bless the Lord at all times. God is worthy to be blessed. God is worthy to be worshipped. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. I was telling someone just yesterday, they were asking about my family and my daughter who had passed away. And going through that really difficult, dark time, I was alone with the Lord and seeking God and talking to the Lord about the whole situation. Of course, praying for my daughter. And the Lord said these two things to me. He asked me, he said, when you dedicated your daughter to me, did you mean it? Did you mean it? And secondly, who does she belong to? Do you trust me? Will you trust me in and through this, no matter how it works out? And yes, I will. Believing that God is good. And that is the thing I said to my daughter, that it's going to be the goodness of God, the character of God that is going to be slandered by the wicked one, because of this catastrophic thing that's happened to you and your family. But we need to trust in what this book declares and reveals about the character of God and also our own experience of God, that He is good no matter what. Amen? Amen. Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that's what we need to do. That's what David did. That's how we strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God. It says in Psalm 118, verses 5 and 6, I called on the Lord in my distress. That's what you need to do in your time of crisis, in your Ziklag experience, where everything's been devastated, where there's great loss, where there's ruin, where it all seems to be hopeless. Cry out to the Lord. Call upon the Lord in your distress, the way the psalmist did. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me, and he brought me into a broad place. And this is God's promise to you. The liar says, that's it, you're finished, you've blown it. You've wrecked your life. There's no hope for you. But the Lord says, no, I will bring you into a broad place. I will bring you into a new place. I give you hope. I'll give you a new beginning. All of your failures, all of your mistakes, all of your sins, I will cleanse you from them. I can make everything new. Even though these things have happened as you've been a Christian, I'll bring you into a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me, so the psalmist says. He worshiped God. He believed the word of God. He believed, and we must believe, the work of God, what Christ has done on the cross. We need to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We have to talk to God. We need to do what David did. He talked to himself. Remember in Psalm 42, Dave, why are you cast down? Hope thou in God. Dave, talk to yourself. Talk to God. Talk to your friends. Get counsel. Get a word from the Lord. And of course, what most people do when they're in distress is they withdraw. They withdraw from fellowship. They withdraw from meetings like this. They withdraw from reading the scriptures. They withdraw from God's people. When you need to do exactly the opposite, you need to expose yourself to the Word of God. You need to be in a place of hearing where God can and will speak to you. More than ever, how many of you have gone to a meeting really low? Everything in you says, I want to stay home. I don't want to go to the meeting. But nevertheless, you went to the meeting and God spoke to you. Is that true? God gave you a word and you thanked the Lord that you came. Isn't that true? Hasn't that happened to all of us? You've got to expose yourself to God's word, because with the word comes faith and strength in the word. And that's what David did. You've got to get back into your Bible. You've got to read the word, wherever it might be at. Lord, I need a word from you. I need you to speak to me. God, help me. You need to listen to the inward word of the Spirit, who will bring to your remembrance promises that he's made to you. He'll bring to your remembrance scriptures. Go to books. Go to written books that can help you. Whatever it takes, encourage yourself in the Lord your God. And it says in verse 8, David went on from there, and this is what you and I need to do. He prayed. David inquired of the Lord. And he got a word. God spoke to him. He asked the Lord what he should do. God spoke to him. And he spoke a living word. He spoke a personal word. Daniel says in Daniel 10:19, when you spoke, I was strengthened. Isn't that true? We get a living word from God, And it changes everything inside. Maybe not the externals, but it changes everything inside. God has spoken. Hallelujah. And I've been strengthened. It says in Proverbs, for instance, chapter 12, verse 25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. How true that is. But a good word makes it glad. A good word from God changes the heart and gives us hope and gives us strength. So David prayed, but we also read in verse 9 and 10, after God had spoken to him, David went. Verse 10, David pursued. The point I'm making is that not only did David hear from God, he obeyed. Not only did David pray, but he obeyed what God said to him, though it seemed impossible. And God had spoken to him this word, only the Lord can do this. He said, you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. There's recovery, David. There's restoration. You're going to regain that which you lost and then some. And the Lord speaks these kinds of words of hope to our heart. Some of you this morning need to hear such a word of hope. Where you feel like you've crossed the line. You've been in this dark valley so long that you're going to live there. There's never going to be any change. That's not the heart and word of God. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And He makes us new and gives us a fresh start. Remember, Mary heard a word from the Lord. An impossible word that only God could speak. And she said, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. I don't know how. I don't understand it. Seems impossible to me. But you spoke. I know it. Be it unto me according to your word. And then her cousin said, every word that God has spoken, there shall be a performance of everything that God has said. And I believe it. Hallelujah. Do you take God at His word? The greatness of God and the power of God to make a message out of our messes, and we all have them, to take failure and turn them into triumph to the glory of His Son. That's what He wants to do and will do in each and every one of us. Wise Mary, we heard it yesterday, and it's a good word for us this morning. Whatever He says to you, do it. Just do it, whatever He says to you. So David obeyed and he pursued. And it says in verse 17, David attacked. David attacked. And with this word, with this hope, with this empowerment of the Spirit, with this strengthening of God, there's something in us that rises up. And it is of God. It takes the weak. It takes the feeble. And there's something that rises up against the wicked one. And it has to do so. It has to rise up in you on the authority of God's word. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am going to go against this enemy. I am going to go against this wicked one. I'm going to go against this host that is out to destroy me. This liar, this thief who's done so much damage to me and my family, I am not going to have it. Hallelujah. I'm not going to have it. Is there that spirit in you that rises up, that fighting spirit, that confidence in the Lord and that which God has spoken and David attacked, believing that He who's begun a good work in you, He will be faithful to complete it. He will finish. Taking these exceeding great and precious promises of God, as Peter says in his epistle, that you might be a partaker of the divine nature. Had a guy in my church just last week said to me, he was leaving the church. And I said, why are you leaving the church? And he mentioned, he didn't mention a brother, but he said, there's a brother in the church that he said, I can't stand him. I can't stand being around him. Just being around him, I'm going to blow up. I'm going to explode. So I'm going to leave the church. So I said to him, I said, Mark, when people come to me, first of all, they come with a problem. I said, secondly, they come with a problem and they're asking me for help to find a biblical solution to their problem. Or number three, they're coming to tell me they've got a problem and they're leaving the church, not wanting to deal with their problem. I said, before we go any further, which one is it, number two or number three? And of course, it was number three. His response was, my father had an anger issue, and he said, I'm just like him. And just a few minutes earlier in the conversation, he confessed to being a Christian man and submitted to the Lordship of Christ. But my father was like this. I'm like this. And he said, I know the problem is probably me. I said, amen, brother. Probably me. And this is the thing. He said, I know I'm offending God, but I'm going to leave anyway. I think, wow. I said, I have a responsibility to tell you that yes, you are grieving the Lord. This is not the will of God. This is not the biblical solution to an anger problem. And I said, secondly, God, because he is loving, because he is sovereign, he is going to put you back in exactly the same situation, if not worse, wherever you go. I'm going anyway. Going anyway. He's believing, well, he's not believing the word, the truth. He's believing that that's his destiny. His father was like that, and he is going to be like that. If my friend Tom gets it in his head that I don't like him, if he believes it, it has the same power as though it were true. Isn't that right? So what you believe is very, very powerful, even if it's a lie. So God, by his Holy Spirit, is drawing us to a place, take God at his word. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, there's recovery, there's restoration, there's renewal, there's another beginning for us. That's the message of this scripture. And we come to the end here. It says in verse 18, this is the place we wanted to come to. David recovered all. David recovered all. All that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Verse 19, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Isn't this a great story? But it's more than a story. It happened, of course, for David. And there are many of you who are sitting here this morning and you are rejoicing in the Lord that there's been recovery and restoration in your life. You are full of joy. You are full of hope. You are full of purpose in your life because of what Jesus Christ has done in you and for you. Isn't that true? And what you want to do is help others come in to that restoration that's ours in Christ Jesus. And that's the message of the gospel. And we notice down in verse 23 that who did David give the credit to? David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered us, delivering into our hands the troop that came against us. It is God who has done this. It's God who gets the glory. It's God who takes us and takes our failures and our mess ups and he makes us trophies of grace. Every day, we've got a 17-year-old, almost 18-year-old granddaughter who has got a very independent spirit. She's going to do things her own way. And it came to a crisis recently in the home, and she left the home. She wanted her freedom. She wanted her independence. No matter, she was not going to abide by any household rules. So she's on her own. That's a story in itself. But there's another side to her that's tender, certainly to her grandmother and myself, but tender towards the Word of God. And since last September, every morning I text her a scripture verse. That's all I do. I don't preach at her. I don't comment on it. I give her the Word of God. I have got no hope, no confidence in her mother, her grandmother, or myself to persuade her, to change her mind, get her to see the obvious of the damage that she's doing to her own life and hurting others. But I've got great confidence in God's ability to touch her heart and use His Word. And we see that happening with some of the responses back on the text thanking me for His Word. So we keep praying. We keep believing. And God is going to get the credit for this. Hallelujah. And David gives God the credit for such an amazing, unexpected turnaround of events. That's David's story. You're sitting here, you've got a story. But the great story is Jesus Christ, David's greater son. And the gospel is one of recovery and restoration, isn't it? Past mistakes, sins, failures, they don't determine our future in Christ. He gives us a brand new beginning, no matter how big and how bad those things have been. Salvation is a story of recovery from lost. From that which has been lost. Recovery from the catastrophe of sin and separation from God Himself. Many, many places in the Bible, promises in the Bible. I will, listen to this. This might be a word for somebody. I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten away. Restoration. Only God can do that. In the person of the Lord Jesus, it was prophesied that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Right? Hallelujah. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, "For this purpose the Son of God appeared, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, "He shared our humanity that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who are subject to bondage." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." And lastly, Galatians 1:4, "Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father." God has a word for you this morning. You who are discouraged and ready to quit. God has a word for you. Those of you who are ready to panic. You're afraid. You're fearful. Your life's falling apart. You keep looking back in your past and think, "I've done it. That's it for me. My life's over." God's got a word for you. You don't know what to do, where to go, where to turn. He's brought you here this morning to hear this word of hope that Jesus Christ can restore and recover all and make everything new. Perhaps you're facing the worst day of your life sitting here. You're going through many days. "This is the worst of my life. I've never been in such a low place. Don't know where to turn. Don't know where you're going." God's got a word for you that He does love you. He's drawing you to His Son again, to put your faith and hope in His Son and His power to make everything new in your life and to deal with all. Don't let your tragedy, whatever it is, don't let your catastrophe, don't let your failure, don't let your sin identify you. That was something that happened to you. That does not define your identity. Your identity is in Christ Jesus and who He says you are. Hallelujah. In Christ, there's a way that we can recover all. What have you lost this morning? What's been stolen from you? That Jesus said, I can deal with that. I can change that. Lost your relationship with God. Lost your relationship with others. Personal tragedy. I don't know what it might be. Failure. You've made foolish decisions. You've lost your dignity. You've lost your purity. You've lost your integrity. I don't know what. There's hope. And we're going to pray. Let's do that now. Perhaps there's just one person here this morning. I don't know why you're here. I don't know all of you. Some of you are part of this church, but perhaps there's one person here this morning that say, wow, this is the providence of God. I needed to hear this. This is a word from God to my heart, a word of hope. Will you be so bold as just to stand that we might pray for you? And ask God to do a fresh work of grace in your life today. David recovered all. There can be, and in Christ, restoration and renewal. Has God been speaking to you this morning? Wants to do a new, fresh work, a deeper work in your heart. Jesus himself said in John 10:10 that the devil's come like a thief to kill, to steal away, to destroy. But I've come to give you life and life abundantly. Brother and sister, are you living in the joy of abundant life this morning? The Lord is here. He wants to minister to us. Any others who would like to stand as we just close in prayer this morning? Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring the accomplished and the effectual work of the cross of Calvary to bear in the lives of these who are standing before you. You know the particulars. Come, Lord, and deliver them from every trace, every mark of the evil one, all that's marred their lives, Lord, all that's cursed their lives, all that's broken and shattered them, Lord, and left them strengthless and powerless. Come and undo it all, Lord. And let the joy of the Lord be their strength. Let them go from this place, Lord, no longer mourning, but with joy and hope and in you. Such as is needed this morning, Lord. In these who are standing before you, in all of our hearts, and in this church. Let there be full salvation. Let there be full recovery. Let there be full restoration. All to the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.